Rabbi, lessons from the late Parshas Vayeshanam. Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. Amar Elokeichem. It's so important to me on the day that the Rabbono Sho'olam decreed that we cannot learn Torah, Chazal, of course, told us we can't learn Torah. On that day, we come back to the base and we say, I was chalishing for a little Torah. There's a custom quoted, surprisingly, you would think a Chasidish minhag, but there's a custom that's quoted in the name of the great Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, that on Motzei Pesach, he would make somebody run out to the Goyisha bar to get a bottle of beer and make Dafka Havdalah on that. Why? Because he wanted to show that I wanted to eat chametz all the time. So I think to come back, you have to get spruced up and have, you know, some food, get some food in you, and to come back to the base medrash, wow, that's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. So yishkoyach for those that came. Obviously, nobody came for the cookies, but yishkoyach to you. And also, for me, you don't know what you've done for me. This is instead of me tomorrow night in my lowly apartment saying, you know, I have an audience. And you know, things are always more powerful in an audience. That's why I so thank Rav Ben for allowing me to speak this year, because it gives me such a chiyus. It makes my, I don't want to say make my Tisha B'Av more meaningful. I told a few guys, I don't know if I did the right thing. I spoke to the teens today, and a guy just came to me. It's such a spiritual high when somebody comes to you. A teen came to me and says, I just want to tell you something, Rabbi. Your speech today, and I'm waiting for it, was so inspiring. Was so funny. I'm like, oh, it's Tisha B'Av, that's not good. Uh-oh. Okay, anyway. Moshe Rabbeinu comes in and he says, there's a specific kid from Yachad, and I don't think he was there, because the whole year, whenever he sees me, that's what he says to me. He goes, oh, you're the funny Tisha B'Av rabbi. That's what he calls me, the funny Tisha B'Av rabbi. Okay, no, what can I do? He's right, it's all I have is my humor. Okay, V'eschanan El Hashem, Ba'esai Hilei Mor. We know this stirring pasuk. Va'etchanan is to implore the Rabbanu Shalom. I only want one thing, Rabbanu Shalom. 515 times. I just want to get into Eretz Yisrael. How sad. He can't get in. He said, I've done everything else, but my goal is Eretz Yisrael. This is what the last speech was, Rav Ben's speech about what Eretz Yisrael is and what it isn't. Please, Hashem. My hope, my desires, my dreams will not be complete without the goal. And obviously this makes a lot of sense, because this was the whole idea. Bnei Yisrael should have gotten to Eretz Yisrael a long time ago, if not for the Chet Egel, and if not for the sin of the spies, of course. And the sin of the spies, which we just nebuch, and we're still reveling from until Chatzos tomorrow, is the reason why we were on the floor today. But then something startling, almost a change, an about-face happens. And it's not at all an about-face. It's part of this story that's told, of course, Sefer Devarim. Something remarkable happens. And interestingly enough, a few weeks ago, we spoke about this exact thing, and I have a total different idea. As Yavdil Moshe Shlosh Arim Be'ever HaYardeh. There's a total change. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was told, stop. Stop asking me to get into Eretz Yisrael. Enough for it. I can't. Right? You have that, I don't know, maybe I'm a bad father. I mean, I know I'm a bad father, but the kid says, can I have it? Can I have it? Can I have it? Can I have it? And then finally, after a while, the kid's smart enough, you're like, okay, enough already. Just go. Stop. Okay, here's money. Go, whatever. So now we think, and the next topic, Az Yavil Moshe. The cities of refuge, the Ari Miklat. Moshe Rabbeinu's last act is setting this. The Ramban says that Moshe now is setting an example to Bnei Yisrael. He spoke so forcibly about the obligation and the chiyuv we have, the privilege to observe the laws and now to do it in Eretz Yisrael, and what a leader is to set this as his last standard. But he knew that this chiyuv would only happen after he died. So he was setting up a mitzvah that wouldn't ever be chal on him. Because it wasn't just me'ever yadin, it had to be in Eretz Yisrael for us, that's the only time it would happen. So the question has to be asked, why did Moshe Rabbeinu concentrate on this last mitzvah? Why? What's so special about this mitzvah? He needed more mitzvahs. Moshe Emes, Torah Sabbath, he gave us the Torah. Anytime we do a mitzvah, Moshe has to get schus for it. He taught us the mitzvahs. It's a pretty amazing thing if you think about it. You have a young bacher comes in, and you sit down and you learn a little bit with him, and you say something like shocking, like, oh yeah, you know, let's do some of the Lords of Asher Yatzer. And he's like, Asher what? You know, when you leave the bathroom, there's a bracha. What are you, crazy? What? He goes, wait, didn't you go to so-and-so school? Your parents already paid $100,000 in all your schooling? You never heard of Asher Yatzer? No. And he's like, oh, I'm going to say that bracha for the rest of your life. No matter what you do and who you become, you get a schus for that guy that you just taught a new bracha to. You taught him a limud, and he tells over to his father the limud. You get a schus for that. So this is the schus that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to have? Ari Mikla? And I'll tell you something a little bit more startling. After he's done with this great mitzvah, the Torah tells us something I think equally surprising. V'zois ha-Torah she'sal Moshe lefnei b'nei Yisrael. When the Torah is lifted, v'zois ha-Torah. So everybody thinks v'zois ha-Torah is talking about the Torah. V'zois ha-Torah, v'zois ha-Torah. This is the Torah. Mistom, if you look at the psukim, mem aleph is avzi adil Moshe, v'zois ha-Torah is mem hey. What is he talking about? Rashi says, it follows this, v'zois ha-Torah. Zeshu asid l'sader achar parshazu. Maybe it's talking about the Seres HaDibros, but Mestam is talking about this. Why, when we lift the Torah, even today, we still, v'zois ha-Torah, everybody screams out, this is the Torah? What's Moshe's Torah? This is the last Torah he's teaching us, the last mitzvah he's doing. And as I told you a few weeks ago, the Rambam says Mashiach is going to come. This is what he's going to do. More Ari Miklat. What did Moshe teach us? What is the spiritual heritage that Moshe needs? As I said, is it not the Torah that is enough? Chazal teach us that Moshe desires to perpetuate a permanent mitzvah that would continue even after his demise. The Ari Miklat was a farewell spiritual memorial that Moshe would have for prosperity forever. The Divrei Malkiel, wonderful, amazing sefer of Moshe Tannenbaum, says that it's not about the size of the mitzvah. It's the overall benefit that the mitzvah can provide to others. Future generations can derive from it. Oftentimes, it's the neglected mitzvah that we get more schar for introducing that to people. There are some amazing people in the world, like the person who introduced shatnez in America, like a Rav Aaron Soloveitchik who introduced something we never heard of called yashan. The neglected mitzvahs. That's a Kiddush Hashem in this world. We spoke so much about Kiddush Hashem on Tisha B'Av, the Chil Hashem that's created in this world, and we have to Mekadosh Hashem. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is doing. Moshe is teaching us a very important idea. As the famous Mishnah tells us, Rav Moshe Schwift quotes the Mishnah, of course, Lo hu haya omer lo alecha amlacha ligmor. I never told you to finish the malacha. Oftentimes we say, well, I can't start this because I'll never finish it. Dafi Yomi, are you kidding me? I know people, I'm shocked. I wish I was one of those people. We're in the middle of Sukkah now. You know Sukkah, right? And then what are they saying? You all should know Sukkah. Don't look at me like, what's Sukkah? And what are you saying? I can't believe I'm there. I'm doing Daf Yomi. What an accomplishment. This one's telling me about this year's and that year. In the beginning, he said, I never thought, I just wanted to do brachas. I just wanted to finish brachas. The joke that they tell is, you know, everybody does brachas. And then Shabbos comes, and it's this huge, and you start doing a few daf, and it says, Boi Shabbos, Boi Menucha. Everybody sleeps. That's it, we're done. Hashem doesn't say you have to finish the malacha. Don't worry about it, my dear friend. I'm not asking you to finish the malacha, but start the malacha. Hashem doesn't expect the individual to complete it alone, but set something for generations where somebody knows, wow, that's his mitzvah. Moshe Rabbeinu realized Ari Miklat would not even be established until he was, but he started the mitzvah. You have to own a mitzvah. You have to take upon yourself something forever. That's your legacy. That's going to stay with you. Rav Arya Levin, for example, besides great things he was known, but Hachnasas Orchim, everybody knew he was known about. Anybody who came into his house, he would walk them out. Stories told about the rain and fog, and he would walk them out of the Chaimus of Yerushalayim. Besides his chesed that he did. That's a legacy you set for yourself where your children be like, oh yeah, Abba, that's, yeah, everybody knows that's his thing. And yes, it could be Limud HaTorah. It could be Minyan. Something they know that this father does not mevatel it. And isn't that what Elul is all about? And I'm sorry to tell you that Tisha B'Av is over, which means that Elul is around the corner. And they're not being mevatel Elul, even though it's in the middle of the summer, so maybe you should be mevatel it. No. The Ribbono Shalom says, Shabbat Shuva, Kichu Imachem Dvorim. Dvorim is not a lot of things. Elul starts, and we start accomplishing. We take some things, and we put them in a bag. And we go up to the Ribbono Shalom and Rosh Hashanah, and we say, this is all I have. And the Malach HaMavis, whoever it is, says, seriously? He just brought a bag. But the King of all kings says, yeah, but at least he's trying. He brought something. And you see, you don't understand, Malach. I'm Avinu Malkeinu first. First I'm Avinu. He's my son. He's trying at least. That's what we show the Ribbono Shalom. The Chofetz Chaim, I'm paraphrasing, said, it is not for you to achieve, but it is for you to act. Achievement is the providence of Hashem. Rav Ben spoke about the idea of, I thought it was such a beautiful concept. We are all mechanchim. You all have to go into chinuch. I thought a lot about myself. I thought he was going to point me out. And I thought about the idea. When I came back from, if I'm allowed to say the word here, NCSY Kollel, I was in Madrich many, many years ago. And I told my parents I already had a job. And I said to my parents, I want to go into chinuch. And my parents were like, oh no. Both my parents were in chinuch for many, many years. And they said, you know, chinuch is not NCSY Kollel, you know, where all the kids come because they're, you know, they want, at least some of them, want to learn. And it's the summer, so it's easy to be, inspired. It's not as easy as it looks. And they're 100% correct in what they said, but it was always in back of my mind, Baruch Hashem. It was always in back of my mind. And then the greatest thing happened to me. Sorry to get a little personal. The greatest thing ever. Gives chus to my father. I was in Rav Govich Shir, and it was time for me to move on. I had an amazing time in the Shir, but I wanted to be challenged more. And I was looking at Rabbi Willig Shir and Rabbi Schechter Shir. And the Rabbi Rav Goldbach, because of our close relationship, said, nah, I can't lose you. And I asked advice from my father, and he said, well, what about my Rebbe, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik? And the rumor was Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, he's very old, he's out of it. But he says, that would be, Rav Goldbach can't say anything to that. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. And I went to the Shir, and I was very lucky. I was able to follow him to be giving the Shir about Lashon Hara, and I was able to follow it. And I was lucky because right away we established a rapport. Right after the Shir was over, he looked at me and he says, no, how did I do? Because he knew I was trying the Shir out. And then, surprisingly, he asked me how my father was doing. And that's when I really thought he was out of it because I didn't introduce myself yet. And he told me I looked exactly like my father who he had in Shir, I don't know, 40-something years before. Pretty amazing. But Rav Aaron, when I decided to get a job, Rav Aaron said to me, next year you're coming to Smicha Shir. And I remember laughing at him. And I remember saying, Rebbe, I'm not rabbi material. And he looked at me and he said, ah, because you tried it already and you didn't go well. You weren't successful. I'm like, okay. And until this day, I always think that Rav Aaron didn't care for me to be a rabbi or not. He just wanted me to challenge myself to go for smicha, which is not so easy, and go through the bechinas, v'chulu, v'chulu. And literally, as I finished smicha, I got a call from Rabbi Neuberger asking me to give shir in his shul, which Baruch Hashem went on for a good number of years, a halacha shir. And that started the process. Then I came to Eretz Yisrael, and pretty quickly, Leva Torah offered me a position making millions and millions of shekels. No. It was a free position. Until this day, I'm relevant in the zechuyos that I have up in Shemayim, I hope, and the free Coke Zeros they give me. But that's it, Rabbi Yisai. One a day. So I learned a lesson. Chinuch is not necessarily something formal. And I think I pointed this out, I think I said this, that some of the greatest people who are able to teach chinuch are actually not rebbes. They're regular people who people look at and they say, wait a minute, you were cool 2 years ago. What happened to you? Look how you look now. And you're like, wait, I'm still cool. Just because I wear a white shirt doesn't mean I'm not cool. But Rav Hartstein wears polo shirts. Okay, not for now. Moshe Rabbeinu taught us an amazing lesson. He taught us that we have to take upon ourselves something. And when we had such an amazing, 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 I'm sorry to say amazing. Amazing is a good word to say. I don't apologize for it. Tisha B'Av, because it was meaningful to us. When we have a spiritual high, we need to take it out and say, well, okay, what am I doing? Especially on Tisha B'Av. It's Moitzi Tisha B'Av. Say, okay, what is my malach? I'm lachal libor. What am I going to start? What am I going to try to do? What am I going to try to establish? What am I going to take upon myself? In Torah, in Avoida, in Gulus Chasadim. That's what Moshe wanted to teach us. That's why when we pick up the Torah, we remind ourselves, wait, things aren't great for you? You can't believe it how you, right? Imagine the guy walks in and he's trying to be more machmid on minyan. And Nebuchlo Aleinu, he wakes up a little late. A little late would be nice, but he walks in and they lift the Torah. That's how he walked in. V'zoysa Torah. You know what just reminded of? Okay, today wasn't a perfect day. You're going to put, now you're filling on, it's already after. You're going to hear the wrong ashray. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Start again. Oh, lecham lecham ibor. There's going to be pitfalls in it. A teacher's going to have those days where he says, why did I teach? I had this. I have this every Friday morning. I see people playing outside. And I said, it's me. You know, I'm such a bald guy. He said, but I thought it was funny. Well, how come guys aren't coming to my shir, you know? And then Rabban, like, he feels bad. He's like, oh, don't worry. Nobody comes to my shir either, you know? I know it's not true. I know it's not true. And then sometimes you have good days. And sometimes as you're walking home, I'm sorry, I'm giving you my personal story. As I'm walking home, I said to my wife, you know what? I don't want to speak to myself and do lessons from the lathe. I said, even if two people show up, well, and you came. Or some of you are held hostage here. You just wanted to learn Torah and now you have to listen to this. But okay. My timing is good, Baruch Hashem. Perfect Rebbe time. I'm just over 18 minutes. And just lastly, I would say, we lie when it comes to time. It's not, it's Nebuch. It's what we have. So, lastly, I just want to relate what I've said before about maybe also the relationship is actually the mitzvah itself. And maybe it is the mitzvah of Azi Avdil Moshe. The Ari Miklat remind us as we start Elul, I have to say it, Inu L'yadu V'samtila. The Rosh Tevos of Elul talks about Ari Miklat. What does one thing have to do with the other? Rav Goldlich points this out. And he says, if you look at the Arizal, that's the kotera to use. He doesn't use Adinu L'doli D'li, which everybody uses. He uses this. You know why? Because this also teaches us the mitzvah of, if you do something wrong, by mistake. I didn't intentionally want to kill somebody. Hashem says, I'm going to give you a place to go. I'm going to give you signposts. We spoke about Sion today, the signposts of where we have to be. He's giving us signposts and saying, okay, don't be a Jew that does things haphazardly. Think about what you're doing, the repercussions of what you're going to say and what you're going to do and how you're going to act. and yes, how you're going to dress, and the repercussions of staying up late at night, that you won't get up in the morning. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu also, when we pick up the Torah, wanted to remind us, don't be that Jew we spoke about a few weeks ago. Don't be that Jew that's negligent, that doesn't think before he does things. Think about the amazing effect of a mitzvah that I can do, not on just me, on future generations, everyone. On the person that's sitting next to you and sees your asmat, I can't believe this guy. This guy told me once that he's going to finish Mishnayos. I just figured out this program, and I laughed at him. I said, you can't even get up in the morning. And look, he finished Mishnayos. And look at this guy who said he's going to finish a Masecht in X amount of time, and he did it. And look at this person who says, I have a goal. My goal is for the rest of the summer, every day I'm going to bring in one different guy and sit and learn with him for a few minutes. You have any idea what the effect is? My time is done. And that's why I'll tell one more story. This is just a story came to my mind. I'm a very strong believer that the Rabbanu Shalom puts a story in your mind, you have to tell the story. I believe that. Most of the time when I do that, I get in a lot of trouble. Because it wasn't Hashem who put it in my head, it was the Malach HaMap. No. So, but this is a story. I don't know why I wanted to tell it today. I decided not to. It's a story about you never know. So it was my year, right after I came home from Israel, I guess. Oh, no. It was, It was during Nisan Zman. And one of my Rebbeim from Hafter said, can you come to the high school and talk to the guys about coming to Israel for the year? So many of the guys don't want to go. I said, okay. Here I am. Shana Aleph guy, I've been frum for 15, 20 minutes. I mean, I could have a hashba on them, So I go into his class and I start talking about how Israel is amazing. And I promise you guys, it was the worst audience I've had in my life. The guys were like, we remember you from last year. You're a loser. You're still a loser. Like, it was terrible. Because I got come here, we're going to beat you up. Come, let's go outside. It was the worst. And I left there and I remember the Rebbe saying to me, hey, sorry about that. I thought it was a good idea, but clearly it wasn't. You are a loser. No, whatever, fine. And I leave. And I come home. I'm like, so how was it? My first teaching experience. Like, well, it was bad. I got beat up. I'm all beat up. My nose is bloody. No. So a year later, I find myself in Yerushalayim HaKodesh. I'm walking to the old city. And this guy comes up to me. He says, hey, Shalom Aleichem, how are you? I'm like, Shalom Aleichem. And I recognize him. It was this guy from the class. He's like still 6 feet something. So you were one of the guys that hit me that day, right? No. I said, I remember you. He says, thank you. I just want to thank you. I'm like, what? He goes, your speech was amazing that day. I had no desire to go to Israel. But I heard what you said. And I was like, wow. And I said, I got to start thinking about Israel. And it just put me on this train of thought. Da-da-da-da. And now I'm in this yeshiva. And I'm doing so well. And da-da-da. But I'm still going to punch you in the face. No. And the story ends a number of years later, as funny as it is. When I was dating my wife. So she wanted me to meet her friends. So I go to meet her friends, and a bunch of them also were dating. So we met all the boys, and that boy was back at the table. He was dating one of my wife's very good friends. They actually got married. They actually have, Baruch Hashem, wonderful children. I bet you he wouldn't even remember the story. But the effect you could have in Lo Alechem, you try, so, okay, so what? So I had a bad day, so the learning, I don't think so. You never know the effect it could have. Moitzi Tishavov. Work today, tonight. What is that thing? What am I going to take upon myself? Lo alechem lecham igbor. But start the malacha. And every time when that Torah is up, and it says v'zoy satorah, let's remind ourselves that we're going to have ups and downs in life. But just get back on. Because even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't finish the last mitzvah that he did. But you know who's going to finish that mitzvah, Rabbi Yisai? Moshiach Tzidkenu. Rambam's last halachas teach us that when Mashiach comes, Az Yavdil Moshe is going to take over where Moshe stopped, and he's going to reestablish that mitzvah of Ari Mikla. Shavi Zeiche, that Rambam comes to effect very, very soon in our day, with Bayish Lishi and Meherev Yameinu Amen.